Unto the young man Timothy we read, But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Wow, that was an awesome message for Timothy then. It's an awesome message today for our young people. And that's our study today from the International Gospel Hour. Stay with us.
It's time for our broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jay Webb, and welcome to our study today as we embrace God's Word to help us meet the challenges of today. Let's open our Bibles and open our heart for this time of Bible study with our speaker, Jeff Archie, of International Gospel Hour, a broadcast of the Churches of Christ. Here's Jeff.
Thank you very much to our Jay Webb, and greetings to all of you. It's so good to have you with us for our broadcast here today. You know, we began talking about the words to the young man Timothy, and the psalmist even asked a question, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, friends, we're going to answer that today, walking the Savior's way. This is part two of a lesson that we began on our previous weekly broadcast, and now we want to do just a quick review, and then we want to get into our lesson. In last week's broadcast, we presented part one of simply titled Youth. We encouraged young people to choose a vocation that glorifies God, whatever job you may pick, that you pick a job that will glorify God. Choose the proper school or college in preparation for that vocation, but find a place that you can glorify God. Choose the proper associates or friends so that you continue to glorify God. And to choose the proper companions so that you both enter a marriage that glorifies God. Young men, you find that good Christian woman. And young ladies, you find that good Christian man. Choose Christ always in all things, and that will glorify God. Well, we're going to continue our study in a moment. We will also conclude it today. But first, we have a few words from our Jay Webb. And since we're talking about teens, we have a very special magazine that we'd like to offer from our friends at apologeticspress.org.
Our free publication today is Valor and Virtue, a Christian apologetics magazine for teens. It is a great resource, especially for the challenging teen years. Get your free copy today by calling toll-free at 855-444-6988. Leave your name and address and just say Valor. And you can also request it through our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Click on the Contact tab and leave us your name and address and put Valor in the message box. Our friends at apologeticspress.org have made this possible for you, our listeners. Get your copy of Valor and Virtue today.
Now let's continue our study today concerning youth. You know, it won't be long now until there will be some who will engage in what I sometimes refer to as a coming out party. And by that I mean that they will come out of most of their clothes. Can you practically undress to the glory of God? Can you do this without causing somebody to stumble, without causing offense? Oh, certainly not, friends. There is not a person anywhere that can defend it from a Bible standpoint. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." Now note that, friends, neither could they blush. Some women and girls have reached the point where they can't blush. If my pointing out the sin of immodesty causes you to blush, well, you should be thankful that you are still modest enough to blush. I do not know of many things that are more repulsive to a person who wants to live right than a woman in the church who cannot blush. One would probably expect that from some of those on the outside, and someone might say, oh, well, my influence won't hurt anyone, and that's where you are mistaken. You know, I read the following story some time ago where a young preacher boarded a bus on a Monday morning and the bus driver gave him a little too much change. The young man remembered that he had spoken concerning stealing in his sermon the day before, and he knew the extra was not his, and he determined to return it to the driver. He went to the driver and he said, "Sir, by mistake, you gave me a little too much here." And the driver said, "Oh, no, you were wrong. I did not give it to you by mistake. I heard you preach yesterday, and I wanted to see if you practiced what you preached. And I deliberately gave you a little too much, and I watched you in the mirror while you counted the change. And if you would have kept it, I would have never heard you preach again." Well, friends, let's remember this sermon when the weather warms up. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." To the church at Laodicea, Jesus said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness be not made manifest. And I salve to anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see." Revelation 3:18. Now, even though this passage refers to spiritual nakedness, if it had not been true that one should be ashamed when physically naked, our Lord would not have used it in the spiritual sense. If it were not a shame to be unclad physically, it would not be a shame to be unclad spiritually, or our Lord would not have made the application. It was a shame to be physically unclad, and it is a shame to be spiritually unclad. In Revelation 16:15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." A number of people are not ashamed. They just simply cannot blush. But there are others who see their shame. An old preacher, though regretting that Eve ate the forbidden fruit, said he sometimes wished he had some of it to give to the women and girls. For, he said, Eve did put on some clothes after eating it, and he thought maybe it might have the same effect on others. Are there mothers that are listening today who let their daughters dress immodestly? Now, they may still be little children, but they are grown up in the eyes of others and cause sin in the minds of others. I am aware that there are some who would commit adultery in the mind no matter what one did. For 2 Peter 2:14 says, "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin." I'm not referring to that kind of person. No matter how decently and modestly a person might be dressed, that type of person would commit lust. But I am speaking of men who do not want to think or who do not want to do anything wrong. Men who, though after God's heart, as was David, by the lack of proper dress on the part of women and girls, may be tempted to commit adultery either in the mind or else to be guilty of the very act. When women parade around indecently clad and thereby cause men with pure hearts to lust after them, the women are far from guiltless. One cannot undress to the glory of God and cannot be immodestly clad without causing offense and stumbling. For the remainder of the time, I want to give an example of a man who made the wrong decision and then conclude with an example of a man who made a right decision. I want to refer to the Old Testament for the first and to the New Testament for the second. The man who made the wrong decision against God in the Old Testament was Abraham. I'm sorry, friends, was Absalom. One of the saddest statements I have ever read is in 2 Samuel 18:33. "And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." The great mistake of Absalom was his deciding against God. Now let's note some of his mistakes, mistakes which brought this brilliant, handsome young man to an untimely death. Absalom thought that he could ignore the right rule of life and that he could be an exception. In Hosea 8 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." In Romans 2:11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." And in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." and Absalom could not be an exception to the right rule of life. Absalom thought he could take the law of the land into his own hands. The half-brother of Absalom, Amnon, committed a terrible sin against Tamar, Absalom's sister. Instead of appealing to his father, King David, Absalom decided to kill Amnon. We read in 2 Samuel 13:28, "Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, 'Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have I not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant.'" Further, Absalom fled from home and was among evil associates for 3 years. In 2 Samuel 13:37-38, "But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And for 3 years he remained among evil associates. It is no wonder that he planned to overthrow his father when he returned." Another mistake of Absalom was that he was disrespectful to his father. In 2 Samuel 15:30, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went." Now, boys and girls, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and you may live long on the earth." In spite of Absalom's mistreatment of his father, David still loved him and commanded his captains in 2 Samuel 18:5, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." David may have thought much about his past sins during these dark hours, but one thing is certain: he showed his great love for his rebellious son, Absalom. My heart goes out to anyone whose children have gone astray. I do not know what mine will do. They are still young. But I want you to pray for me that I may be able to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I certainly believe Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." As David was grieved for Absalom, even so my heart is grieved for others. If there is anything that I can do to help anyone who has an erring son or daughter, I shall be happy to assist to the greatest extent of my ability. And now, coming to the New Testament, we want to consider Timothy, who made the decision for God, Christ, and the church. Absalom chose against God. Timothy chose for God. David very likely neglected Absalom's religious training during the time that Absalom was growing up. But Timothy had a wonderful religious training even from a child. He was fortunate in having both a godly mother and grandmother. And let's note 2 Timothy 1:5. "Having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." Also in 2 Timothy 3:14-15, "But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned, and that from a babe thou hast known them, and hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." One of the reasons, brethren and friends, that so many of us go astray, or our children do, is that we are too busy with houses and lots and stocks and bonds and farms and cattle and automobiles and various businesses. I have watched that very carefully, and I am sure that some of you have also. I realize that sometimes the reason some of our children are not interested in living the Christian life is because we have done such a poor job of living a life of Christianity before our children in our homes. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I brought up my children in the church." But did you bring them up in the home? That is where you are supposed to bring them up. The church is obligated to teach and instruct them also, but they are to be brought up in the home. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord." One translation says to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The reason most of our children leave the church is because they do not receive the proper training. If we provide the correct training and a child will not receive it, we have done our duty. But if we provide that training, which includes not only the correct teaching, but also the proper attitude, motives, incentives, and all that is involved, seldom will a child refuse to accept the training. If you will make Christianity attractive to your children, if you will demonstrate to them that it means everything to you, they will be able to see what it has done for you, and then they will want to be Christians. To summarize briefly, as noted in a previous broadcast, you must decide what your vocation will be. You must decide what school to attend. At this point, I would like to point out that it is the responsibility of the home to educate the child and not the responsibility of the church. The school is an adjunct of the home, not of the church. Of course, there is some overlapping of responsibility. You must further choose your associates. You will someday be faced with the choice of a companion. But most important of all, you must choose for or against Christ. You now have a decision to make. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? To become a Christian, friends, you must hear the gospel of Christ, Acts 15:7-9. And you have heard the gospel throughout these broadcasts, and you will continue to do so. You must believe in God, Hebrews 11:6. You must repent, Acts 17:30. Confess Christ, Romans 10:10, and be baptized into Christ, Romans 6:3-4, for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. The Lord will pardon, forgive you, save you, and add you to His church, Acts 2:41-47. An erring child of God is restored by repentance and confession of sins and prayer, Acts 8:20-23, and 1 John 1:9. Well, friends, we wanted to share with you this lesson concerning youth, and this, again, is part two of this lesson. I'd like to also add, as I have acknowledged before, because here at International Gospel Hour, we always strive to give proper acknowledgement of the lessons that we share, that today's lesson is from a series of lessons delivered by the late Garland Elkins in 1965 at the Morrison, Tennessee Church of Christ in the theme, The Savior's Way. We always appreciate our brother and friend Paul Sane and his excellent work at sanepublications.com for permission to use these lessons. Again, these lessons, as of this date, have not been proclaimed since 1965 or well over 60 years. How blessed we are that we can bring them again today. They are still important. They are still pertinent to the cause. A couple of thoughts concerning the lesson on youth that we heard today. Brother Elkins dealt exclusively with proper attire, and he also mentioned of women and young ladies. May I also submit that when we look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 concerning the dress of a woman and the behavior of a woman, that we also find there are instructions for men for them to conduct themselves as well. I'm sure you would agree it doesn't make sense for a woman to parade around scantily clad, as it is said, and yet for a man to do the same. We realize there is no consistency there, that both men and women need to be concerned of their attire when they go out as an example of God. We also consider, when we study the young man Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul told the young man Timothy, "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." When we think about in word, we would deal there with what is being said. How does the person express himself? The word conversation is a lifestyle. How do we live? People see how we live and they hear what we say. In word, in conversation, in charity. And also another word there in some translations would be love. But when we think of charity and that word charis, which is in the original Greek, it is the expression of love. For example, if somebody is a charitable person, they give of love, they give to help, they give to give need. And so we are to see that example of that charity or that expression of love. Again, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, when we think about spirit, he's referring there with the attitude of the individual. So many of our boys and girls today, I must be honest with all kindness, friends, seem to have an attitude. Their conversation is not there. They cannot carry on a conversation with someone. Let's make sure that we keep the attitudes humbled to serve, to learn, to help, to allow the word, the lifestyle, and the charity to stand forth, which will determine that good spirit or that good attitude. Abide within that to walk in faith, to have a faithful life for God, to be obedient to the gospel, as we mentioned moments ago, that begins with faith in God and a repentant heart and a mouth that will confess that faith. And then baptism, to have the sins washed away, to be raised to walk in a newness of life, and to continue walking for the Lord. We are to walk in faith, and then in purity, to live a pure life, to live a life that is accordance with the Word of God, and to be pure in action. Friends, all of these are vitally important. We wanted to enhance just these 2 points today from the lesson, again, that Brother Elkins brought forth a number of years ago. Now, a few moments ago, I mentioned about a free publication for our teens called Valor and Virtue. I've got another publication, and I'd like to offer that one. So you may want to just call one time and then ask for the 2 publications. So here is our J-Web with the details of how you can get a free copy of Discovery, which is an awesome publication that deals with science and scripture for children. Here is our J-Web.
You can receive absolutely free a copy of Discovery, Scripture and Science for Kids, courtesy of our friends at apologeticspress.org. This great publication helps families of all ages understand the truth concerning such teachings as creation, evolution, dinosaurs, and other biblical subjects written on a child's level. You can get your free copy today by calling toll-free at 855-444-6988. Leave your name and address and just say Discovery. You can also send your request through our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Click on the Contact tab and leave us your name and address and put Reason in the message box. Ask for your free copy of Discovery today.
And friends, while we are grateful to offer these publications to you, both Valor and Virtue and Discovery, again, you can call us at the toll-free number that Jay mentioned. But friends, we got one more for you. I'm going to be giving away a lot today. Let's add to that Valor and Virtue and that copy of Discovery. Let's add our relatively new Bible study we've added, God and Man. And here is our J-Web with those details. Then I'll come back and wrap them all up together.
An additional Bible study by mail is now available from International Gospel Hour. It's titled God and Man, How to Be Saved from Sin. This study booklet addresses a number of questions about the salvation from God to man. And friends, like all materials, it's free. Call us toll-free at 855-444-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say God and Man. Or you can go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type God and Man in the message box. Another Bible study that is free from IGH and our friends at GodAndMan.com. That's God-and-man.com. And, you know, since you can't see it, let me just spell that out for you. GodAndMan.com. We'd love to hear from you.
So, friends, let me kind of summarize with everything here, because I know Jay is giving you quite a bit there. If you'll call us at 855-444-6988, leave us your name and address, you can just say Valor, Virtue, Discovery, God and Man. or just say both magazines and God and Man, and we will do our best to fill those for you. We can send it all together at one time. And forgive me for not making that a little bit clearer earlier. And so if you called for one and you need to call back for another, again, my apologies, but I really do appreciate your interest in those things. You know, when we talk about our young people, we want to make certain they have what they need. But we cannot miss the example that we have as older individuals. So many times when there are lessons for our young people, we as older people say, well, I've reared my children, or, well, I've got things going on, or that doesn't apply to me. But friends, we can learn something from every lesson, and then we can turn around and help others. You know, there are a lot of young people that probably look at you for an example. You have a great example before them. We must make certain that our examples are what they should be. It's like when we go on an airplane, and we're always told in case cabin pressure drops, a mask will fall down from above your head. Put your mask on, then you can help somebody and do it so, and you can do it clearly. That means you start breathing first, you make sure you're okay before you help someone else. Maybe it's time we look at our examples first, before we look at the example of our young people. We hope this two-part series on youth has been of help, and we hope the materials that we offer will be of help to you in your study of God's Word. And we're going to continue these studies here at another time. But for now, thank you for joining me today here on the International Gospel Hour broadcast. I'm Jeff Archie, and as always, keep listening.
God be with you till we meet.
Thank you for listening today. To God be the glory. And we hope that our study today will draw you closer to His Word to walk in His way. Feel free to listen to our other programs at our website at internationalgospelhour.com. And join us next time.